When I was playing around with this scripture for this week, I had no idea that a lot of the stuff that's gone on was going to get larger and more involved. As the week progressed, that became pretty much of an awareness. And I wasn't joking about emails coming from all over the place about praying this Sunday for peace on earth. Well, okay, doesn't do much good, but you might as well try, right? You might as well try. And I thought about missionaries who go under great obstacles into a place, and particularly when I think about the latter part of the 20th century and even that part of our 21st that's going on now, and these missionaries go in to do something which nobody really enjoys doing, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And how do you do it without becoming obstinate or arrested? And you can't go into a lot of countries because you're just not welcome, because missionaries under the Christian banner are discouraged completely. They are. We can't have any in Israel. We have some in years, and we've had them for years in Palestine. We've had a great Presbyterian, and I only know Presbyterians, so I don't know the other missionaries, but I am getting acquainted with them because of a neighbor. Nathaniel's dad tells me about the missionaries and where he's working trying to raise funds for them in different places of the world. Some places they're welcome, some they're not. Doesn't make any difference. Our Pakistan mission has been a foreman's school, and that's been popular for over 125 years, one of our great mission projects in the northern part of Pakistan, which is a little more safe. But even then, I've just learned that the head of the Froman School, a family that I know, has to go under armed guard to go to the market or get picked off. Missionaries don't have it easy. They really don't. They can do good, but I imagine they look forward to coming home on a recess to be with safety and family, like any of us would be in the same boat. The missionaries I've known over the years have all had that wonderful ingredient, which I always thought was a wonderful earmark, and an earmark that does make good pastoral relations. The joy of Christ, the love of Christ, the hope of Christ, and they live it, and they share it, and they celebrate it wherever they are. And you've got to say, wow, good. That's positive. And when I said to the kids up here, the same thing. They're growing in their faith, just as we're all growing in our faith. Can we do the same thing as missionaries? Can we operate under that credo that we can offer Christ in us? And you can see it in our joy, in our hope, in our helping, in our celebrating. Not complicated, it really isn't. It really isn't. And the simplicity really is where I was looking at in the sermon based on the scripture that we're going to be reading together. That we are the receptacle. And we have to use it because that's what it's called for in the scripture. It was very hard then for Paul, can you imagine? And we're talking about hard days to be a missionary. And he was still learning. He was still learning. Much as the missionaries in 2014 are learning to do the same thing. We went to the movies last night to the Polk Theater and saw a movie called Belle. Have any of you ever, have any of you seen it? Have you read about it? It's about a mulatto girl, a little girl who was born from an English sea captain, a white, and her mother was initially a slave. This is 1760s, yeah. Because he was of the line, that is, royal lineage, I don't know how they determine that, bigger house, they he took her home to be raised because he had to go back to sea. Well, it just so happened that his uncle, who was going to do the raising, was the chief justice of the royal court. And he was the final word on anything. And at that time, England, like the United States, operated with slavery. And the emotional part of that film, and I got to thinking how clever I could see that missionary witness coming through from these lay people who weren't missionaries, but they were. They were treating this little girl with love and care and hope. But they wouldn't let her eat at their table at dinner time. Because you just didn't have that kind of person beside you. The end result of the film was that she did fall in love, and she fell in love with the vicar's son. I love preachers' kids. They're just so wonderful. And the upshot of the story was, because of her and because of him, that Chief Justice and the laws of England changed and slavery was eliminated. There were no quotes from Scripture, but you could see the presence of Christianity marching. Joy, hope, love, care, forgiveness. How wonderful. Open your Bibles. We're looking again at Romans, the 8th chapter, the first 11 verses. And basically, when you're looking at this at your Bible, you have a subtopic in terms of what was going on. It says, life, life through the Spirit. Paul writes, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit in him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which lives in you. Lot of complicated theology that we can squeeze down to a different way, because Paul's whole attitude at this stage of the game in his life when he was writing to the Roman church, it's fantastic, because the whole clue is found in the last part of that bit of scripture that I read you. And the whole clue, the whole power package, if you want it all in a nutshell, is the resurrection. But when living Christ is seen through you, then it's worth shouting about. It's worth saying, wow, this makes life worthwhile. If Jesus is alive and well in you, then the world is going to notice and the world will change. The world will. I get so perplexed with all of the news reporting that goes on. And it seems like every network has its own stupidity to use without dealing with anything realistic. I suppose it's always been that way. But you know, we don't really need it. It adds more confusion than it does insight to just about anything, anywhere and everywhere. Do you feel the joy of Christ? That's a question. I remember that being asked at a junior high camp a long time ago. And the old preacher who was doing it said, "Do you feel joyful in Jesus?" And I thought, huh. We had a song we sang, and I don't remember it at all, but it was something about joyful Jesus. I was looking at the girls. Do you feel the joy in Christ? Do you feel courage? Do you feel loved? These are all good questions, and they came during that time, I remember, around a campfire. All of these things you've got to feel, because that's what Paul is talking about in answering the questions. Answering the questions, do you feel joy? Do you feel courage? Do you feel love? The door to a faith like that shared by my missionary friends that I mentioned in the beginning, that keeps them operating all the time, needs answers. What about joy? Real joy. A word they used to use a long time ago. Do you feel gay in Christ? You can't use that anymore. That's editorialized out of fashion. Because if you feel gay in Christ, you're under suspect. But if you feel joy in Christ, that's what we're talking about. It's more than happiness. It's the enduring personal presence of Christ through the resurrection. It is. That's what Paul was trying to get through here. Your joy should be so overwhelming because you've seen it expressed in the resurrection. Joy is sunshine when it's cloudy. Joy is the smile that overcomes evil. Joy is the strength that holds you up when death interrupts the normal flow of things in your life. And how do you react? Because death is the stranglehold that affects every single one of us at some time during life's journey, isn't it the truth? And it's a suffocation. Joy in Christ is a song. It's a song when the sullen sounds of life just are playing over and over again. And I can think of a dozen and one stories and examples of that throughout my ministry, where people have become so sullen they can't be happy about anything. Anything. What about the question of courage that Paul brings up? Courage in the Spirit. It's more than, this is more than Superman capes and some kind of miracle fabrication that makes you stronger than anyone else. Courage enables you to stand firm when bigotry and prejudice tempt your good sense. Courage. Takes more courage to welcome in love than to put a banner up saying go home, go back where you came from. That's not courage. That's bigotry. That's prejudice. That's nuts. Paul knew this, courage. Courage is when your principle, when your principles are stronger, much stronger than the peer pressure that comes from people around you. Boy, is that easy to say? It is. Because peer pressure rules us all of our life, doesn't it? It does. Courage is when you say no to the world and you say yes to God. Difficult? Yep. Because courage is when you see salvation rather than damnation as a way of life. And courage is a sign of Jesus being alive and well inside you, as live and well as He was on the resurrection morning. And it happens every single day and every single morning when you wake up. Wake up to Jesus and you've got it. Is it hard? Oh, yeah. Is there an easy answer? No, it's a slippery slope. It is. Courage is a sign of Jesus being alive and well in you when everything else tells you not to. Love is the surest sign of Jesus within. And when I mentioned about the missionaries who were doing this all the time, when they were loving people, when it was probably more fashionable to be suspect, that's the strongest ingredients that we have within our faith, that love in Jesus Christ. And the question you need to ask yourself, do I feel love, God's love, particularly God's love, do I feel it so deeply that I really want to shout it out? I want to let people know this is what life is all about. This love of God, this love of Christ. Hard? We're not a shouting people. Presbyterians aren't. I don't care. We may whisper a lot, but we don't shout. But this is what Paul's talking about, using the Spirit that's coming there. Do you really love God so much that you want to share it? Do you feel this love so deeply that you want to show it? Or do you just want to get by doing a little? Like that friend of mine who always did, hoping somebody else will pick it up and run with it because I don't want to be bothered. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. Even between husband and wife, parents and children, the same thing. Do you love God so much that you can share? Or is it just a token of verbal curiosity? You know, the good news that comes from this scripture is that God's Spirit in Jesus Christ is alive and well in each one of us if we let it. If we let it, use it. Celebrate it in all that you do or say. And above everything else, Paul is saying here, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. Who lives in you. So live it. Live it. Share it. Show it. That's the good news in Jesus Christ. God, you give us strength and you give us hope. Help us to take advantage of it. We see a world coming apart at the seams, but help us to realize that we can begin mending some of those seams that are coming apart. Surround us with your grace in all that we do or say. Bless us with your peace, for indeed you give us peace, and you give us love. And you give us courage in Christ. Amen.